as Jamie sang that song, What Love Is This?, that Jesus made a way for us to know God. And that God calls us to live rightly or righteously as our response, our desire, our yearning to love God and to love others as we have been loved. As it says in Mark 12, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Living rightly in Christ is our heartfelt motivation to privately and publicly thank God for the gift of life of both being born into this world and then being born again as new creations in Christ. Living rightly is to understand God's heart is for us to be ministers of reconciliation of to people who do not know him. Living rightly is to give our lives in worship and in service to God. Living rightly is to honor God by living like Jesus. In another translation, the translation of 1 Thessalonians 5, 15 through 17 says, Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually. The NIV has the word good. Another translation has the word kind. And in Christ, living rightly is being kind. There's a story about President Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War that he often visited the hospitals to cheer on the wounded. On one occasion, he saw a young soldier who was near death. And he said to him, Is there anything I can do for you? And the soldier said back, not knowing who he was, to whom he was speaking, Please write a letter to my mother, came the reply. The chief executive sat down and wrote as the young soldier told him what to say. The letter read, My dearest mother, I was badly hurt while doing my duty and I won't recover. Don't sorrow too much for me. May God bless you and father. Kiss Mary and John for me. The young man was too weak to go on and finished the letter, and Abraham Lincoln finished it for him, writing at the end, written for your son by Abraham Lincoln. Asking to see the note, the soldier was astonished to discover who had shown him such kindness. Are you really our president? He asked. Yes, was the quiet answer. Now, is there anything else I can do? The lad feebly replied, Will you please hold my hand? I think it would help to see me through to the end. And Abraham Lincoln, that tall, gaunt man, granted his request, offering warm words of encouragement until death came to that soldier at dawn. Romans 2:4 says, Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance and lead us to a repentance that says to us, it's not just having faith, but faith leads us to good works, to acts of kindness. Paul is saying that God has made us new because of his love for us. He showed kindness to us in offering himself that we would be forgiven and reconciled to God. And we are not to take that fact for granted. Galatians 5:22 says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. The evidence that a fruit tree is healthy is good fruit. The evidence of a Christian who lives as a Christian is that they display the fruit of the Spirit, and one of those fruits is kindness. I wonder, do people see that kindness of Christ in us that would want them to ask, why are you so kind? Who is it? What is it that makes you so kind? How is it that we treat our servers at a restaurant? Do we say thank you for the smallest good thing another does for you? Kindness can mean everything in another person's life. Mark Twain said, kindness is the language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see. In Christ, living rightly is being joyful. John 15:11 says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. The Lord wants us to be joyful with a joyfulness that transcends happiness. You see, happiness is an emotion that depends upon the circumstances. I am not happy when I am sick. I am not happy when I have to wait in line. I personally hate to wait in line. I am not happy when I hurt. I am not happy when I go to Walmart. The other day I was in Walmart and I thought that I was in a rush. And I'm just running around that place with my cart like no tomorrow. And, you know, I was kind of getting in the way of people a little bit and finally had to slow down because I certainly didn't want to run anybody over. And then I heard this voice out from the side of me that said, can you help me? And there was an older woman trying to reach to the top of one of the cabinets. And she said, could you please help me? And I said, I'd be glad to. And I helped her. And she said, thank you. And she had a smile on her face. And the Lord at that moment told me, you need to slow down and live in the joy of kindness. You need to be a person that's present and help people and be kind and show them that you truly are a Christian, especially when I had my name tag on that said Pastor Tom Tease, pastor of Covenant Church of Bay Indies. The Lord sends people into our lives to teach us great lessons. R.L. Stevenson said, when a happy man comes into a room, it is as if another candle had been lighted. When the spirit of gladness and thankfulness rules the heart, light springs up to dispel the darkness and gloom. When Franz Joseph Haydn was once asked how it was that his church music was always so cheerful, the great composer made a most appropriate and beautiful reply. He said, I cannot make it otherwise. I write according to the thoughts I feel. When I think upon God, my heart is so full of joy that the notes dance and leap, as it were, from my pen. And since God has given me a cheerful heart, it will be that I will serve him with a cheerful spirit. And one of his great hymns is number 25, Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. And I would like us this morning to turn to that hymn, number 25, and sing the first and the third stanzas only, stanzas 1 and 3 of that joyful hymn, Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him, number 25, stanzas 1 and stanza 3. praising God and to worship Him is to give Him honor, glory, and blessings in an attitude of joy, a constant state of remembering that we are followers of Jesus at every time and in every place. Joyfulness and praise warms the heart and brings blessings to others because it becomes a magnet for others to ask, why are you so joyful even when you may not feel too good? Our answer, because Jesus loves me and He loves you too. In Christ, living rightly is praying continually. We see that in Paul's letters most vividly, when he starts off a lot of his letters by saying, I pray continually for you, as he writes to the different churches. And God says to us that praying is not just those moments of saying a few words unto Him, but it's an attitude of the heart, it's an attitude of the spirit, it's an attitude of the soul that lives in the constant presence of Christ. Charles Carroll used to produce fascinating TV stories about his travels across America. In his book, On the Road with Charles Carroll, he tells about a time he and his crew visited the Chapel of Maria Angelorum in La Crosse, Wisconsin. There, the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration have been praying without interruption for 100 years. Every hour of every day and night for a century, two sisters have been on their knees side by side, always praying for the same things, for an end to sickness and hunger, for an end to social injustice, for wisdom in high places, for their city, for their country, for their friends, for their enemies, for all people, including you and me, always ending, bring peace to the world. Sister Melita first took her place in this chain of prayer in 1915. Carroll asked her, so you're just going to go on praying for another 100 years? Sister Melita answered, hopefully, yes, hopefully we can go on for another 100 years and perhaps another 100 years until the end of time. Are the sisters making a difference? Absolutely, they're making a difference. That witness says to us that prayer is about a constant presence with Jesus every second, every hour, every minute of every day. Jesus said in Matthew 18:19, again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. And this is a prayer of an unknown soldier of the Civil War. I ask God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I ask God for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I ask for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I ask for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I ask for all things that I might enjoy life. I was giving life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men richly blessed. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In Christ, living rightly is to be kind, is to be joyful, is to pray continually. For this is the will of God for all of us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our closing hymn is the insert, In Christ Alone. Let us stand. In Christ alone, my hope is found. Be kind, be joyful, pray continually, for this is the will of God for all of us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Go in peace.